Well, good morning. And it's good to see you. Appreciate you being with us on our Sunday School Hour as we begin the study of Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And I'll grant you that you'll think I've lost my marbles. Of course, you're probably about right, but you'll say, where in the world are you going? Because what I want to do today, Lord willing, I want to kind of lay a foundation and look at maybe this in a different perspective than we've ever looked at it. It is different from me. So it's kind of something the Lord's laid on my heart, so we'll see where we go with it. But I thank you for being here today, and for those who are listening in by way of internet, it's a blessing that that can take place, especially for those who can't be here. And those of us who can be here, there's just something special about gathering together with the Lord's people in His house. That's, and we do thank you. Bow with us in a word of prayer, and then I'll ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter number 42. Now, what you're going to need to do is hold your place in Isaiah, because we'll be in Isaiah 45, all in Isaiah 12. We'll be all over in Isaiah as we look this morning. So just you hold your place when you find it there. Lord, again today with thankful hearts and love and appreciation and gratitude, Lord, that you have shown to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for your plan, your eternal plan that you set in order in the beginning. And Lord, as we look through your precious word, and we have seen it as it has been worked out and it is being worked out, and Lord, we know that those promises that you've promised that is recorded in your precious word will be worked out according to your precious will. So Lord, help us to see your wonderful word, your marvelous love, your tremendous grace, your watch care. And just may we exalt you as the God that you are. And give you glory, and give you honor, and give you praise, Lord, that you might be magnified. And you might be magnified also, not your name, but also in only your name, but also in our lives. Bless this gathering together today. Be in our presence, and may you be glorified. Again, for those, Lord, who've been mentioned, who have special needs, and you know everyone, ask that you would suit a blessing to them. Watch over them and care for them. And bless again this time together today. In the name of Christ, our precious Lord and Savior, we do pray. Amen. Now, what I want us to do this morning is to begin to lay a foundation plan and look at God's plan. Why were you and I born? Why were you and I created? Why in the beginning did God create man? Why in the beginning did God create man and put him here on this earth where he created him? Why did he do it as he did it? Well, let's just look at a few things this morning. So as we look at Isaiah, and I'm going to give you a couple of verses to remember, but one especially. In John 4, chapter 23 and 24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, and in truth. I want you to think about just a moment what that has said. God is a spirit. And if you and I are going to worship Him, how must we worship Him? It says must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, how many of you are spirits this morning? You see, when we think about that particular verse, we know already that if you and I are ever going to be in a position that we can worship our Lord and our Savior, something has to happen to us as an individual. And what I want to do this morning is look with that thought in mind and begin and look and see why God created us, why He created us and placed us where He did, and what He's accomplished with that He planned. So if we go to the book of Isaiah, and we go to chapter number 43, and we go to verse number 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Now notice it says, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Now in this particular verse, we see three things. He says, I've done what? He says, I've created, and I have formed, and I have made. And we know that in the beginning, God created man, but before He created man, the breath of life that created life in man, the living soul, He formed him from the dust of the ground. So as we look at these verses, we see formed and we see created. And we want to look at that some more this morning as we study together. Now, with that thought in mind, look at 1 Corinthians, and then we're going to go to Genesis. So we're going to be traveling this morning. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and I want to read to you what Paul said in verse number 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the what? To the glory of God. So He created man for His glory, and we are to do all for His glory, to magnify Him, that as we are blessed to live our lives as one of His children, that Christ can be seen in us. Now, remember in Isaiah, even everyone that is called by my name. Now, why in the world did He say called by my name and that one, the one that's going to magnify? The natural man is not going to magnify the Lord. The natural man is not going to bring glory to the Lord. And as I looked at that and thought about that, and I began to think, where God created man and where He put him, and why He put him where He did. So let's look for just a moment. And I know you're going to think you're off your rocker. But I just want us to think this morning and see how thankful we better be. How thankful we should be. Yes, sir. Of where God has put us in this creation, and then how God has looked after us in this creation. Now, that's an important statement, where He has put us in His creation and how He has watched over us in His creation. Okay? Now, I want you to go back with me all the way over to the book of Genesis. And we're going to start again in Genesis 1, and I've worn this out too. But I can't get away from it, so if I can't get away from it, the only thing I know to do is do what I feel like He's led me to do. I don't have any other choice in the matter. So let's begin on this path. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Okay? And God did what? He created the heavens and the earth. Okay? That reminded me of something. I'm going to look back for just a minute, y'all. Just hold your place. Hold your place, hold your breath. No, don't hold your breath. It take me longer than that to find what I'm looking for when I'm praying. But I just thought of something that I wanted to. I wanted to read to you prior to where I'm at. You bear with me for just a jiffy. I know where it's at, just got to get there. In Isaiah 45, God said this. He says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. Okay? I girdle thee, though thou hast not known me. Okay, so in Isaiah number 46 and verse number 8, he says, remember this and show yourselves men, bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. Now notice that phrase, I'm declaring the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46, verse number 8 through verse number 11. He says, declaring the end from the beginning, there's none like me. And he says, from ancient times, the things that are now yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. Now, what's he told us? I'm God. I'm in charge of everything from the beginning and to the end, and I'm going to do whatever it pleases me to do. I'm in charge. Okay? So now go back with me again to Genesis. And he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. So this is that God we've just read about in Isaiah. So I have fashioned everything exactly like I want it. I have planned everything exactly like I want it. I have created the heavens and I have created the earth exactly like I want it. Then we look at verse number 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. Now my thing this morning is this. Why is the earth in the situation that it's in verse number 2? Now to me this is very important. Might not be to you, but it is to me. And when I look at the overall picture in God's word and God's plan, then it makes it much more important to me. So why is it like it is in verse number 2? All right, let's see if we can find out why it would be that way. Go back with me to Isaiah again. I told you to keep your place there in Isaiah. Now, this time I want you to go with me to chapter number 12 in the book of Isaiah, which we've talked about much. I'm sorry, I said Isaiah 12, I meant 14, I'm sorry. Now we want to look at somebody called Lucifer for just a moment. We have just established the fact that there's only one God. He is an eternal God. He is in charge of all this from the beginning to the end. And he's working it all out according to his own pleasure. So now let's look at somebody else that's in the picture also, that God's also dealing with. When we look at Isaiah chapter number 14 and we look at a morning star angel called Lucifer, he was an angel, one of three mentioned by name. How art thou fallen from heaven? Now, where was he at? So he was in heaven. And he says, have thou done what? Have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Which did what? So we see here some ability. Weakness. He can weaken things. He weakened nations. For thou hast said in thine, what? Innermost being. He said in his heart. Pride takes place. We see some pride here. I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to be remembered as somebody. Well, if I'm going to be remembered, I'd certainly rather be remembered for good rather than evil. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. Now, that's an important statement to me when we look at my throne. Because when we look back at Genesis a while ago in chapter number 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, he did not create the heavens and earth in Genesis 1 like you see it in Genesis 2, chapter 1 and verse 2, because it tells us that the earth in verse number 2 is what? Is without form and void. Why? Why is it without form and void? If that's not the way God created it. Now, have different opinions in what I'm going to tell you this right to start with. We have different opinions with those who are authorities in God's Word. Only thing I can do to tell you what mine is, what the Lord, I feel like the Lord led me to believe and see in His precious Word. Now, if Satan is going to exalt his throne, what comes with a throne? You've got to have some territory, right? If you've got a throne, then territory comes with a throne. A king has a throne. He reigns over a territory. And I think my personal feeling is that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, He did the same thing to Lucifer that he did, to Lucifer when he was the morning star angel, that he did to Adam when he formed Adam in the Garden of Eden, planted a garden eastward in Eden, and what did he do? He put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and what did he tell them? He said, you dress it and look after it and care for it. Everything you need is here. You don't need anything else. And he put him in the garden, in a place planted and created by God, especially for him, and says, now you won't need anything else. I put everything here that you need in the Garden of Eden. And when he created the heavens and the earth, I think he set Lucifer down to watch over it and care for it for him. And Lucifer did what we see in Isaiah chapter number 14. He got the big head. And he says, I'm going to exalt my throne above the Most High God. He says, I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will, I will, I will. You look at the I wills in this particular verse. Now, verse number 15 says, yet thou, next word, shall. Now, what tense is that? See? You shall be brought down to what? To hell. If you think this that God created in the beginning, and if you think that you can just overrun him and overpower him because he has granted you to care for and look after this, and you think you're going to be greater than he is, let me show you something, buddy. And he says, bap! And that's the reason you see verse number 2 in Genesis 1 like it is. And he zapped it into what? What does it say? He says it's void and without form, and it's where? Now it is in darkness. Who is, what do we relate Satan to? Do we relate him to light or do we relate him to darkness? So he is in darkness. Earth's in darkness now. And he says, not only that, but your final resting place is going to be hell. And God declares that in the beginning. He says, to the sides of the pit, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, you'll narrowly look upon thee and consider thee. What happened to your pride, buddy? You said, I'm going to be something special. Don't look to me like you're mighty special now. They see thee, will narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and that did shake kingdoms? He's got some authority now. You look. He said he shook kingdoms. We think about the authority that the devil has. He's got a lot of authority. Now, while we're in the book of Isaiah, I want us to go a little bit farther into this and see if we can do some clarification. Now, we've just looked. God says, I am the supreme God. There's nobody like me. And what I do for my own pleasure. Now, in Isaiah 45, let's see if we can put some clarity in this. And I promise you, Lord willing, he lets me live, we're going to get to the Holy Spirit. Somewhere down the line. Brother Billy's up here laughing. He's probably walked down this road before, too. In Isaiah chapter number 45, and we want to begin with verse number. Let's see, where do I want to go? Look at verse number 12. God says, I have made the earth. Now, Genesis 1:1 says what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In this verse, he says, I made the earth. and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Now, who's in charge? He set all this universe in order just like he wanted. And he says, I'm in charge of it. I command it. I remember one time in God's Word, he says, stop the sun. And the whole earth come to a complete stop for just a little bit. And then it started moving again. Take a pretty good break to stop this world from turning. And he spoke it, and it did it. And he said, all right, now start back again. Take your foot off the brake. God's in charge, in case you didn't know it. Okay? But now he says, I made the earth. I created man. Now, when we look back in Genesis chapter 1, and we look at that verse 2, and it says it was void and without form and in darkness. Then it also says something else. What does it say? And the Spirit of God began to do what? It began to move. And when it begins to move, things pick up. And now this is the same Spirit here that we're talking about as we look at the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the thing that does the work of God. And here he says it's time to do something, Holy Spirit, so let's move forward. So as he does this, look with me at Isaiah, because if you look in from the second verse in Genesis 1, you'll find that God was taking something already existed and he's forming it back for a purpose and for a reason. And you look all the way through that, down to where it comes to the point that those things that have reproduction, even says trees have bearing seeds after their kind. But then we look at the animal life and those things that had the breath of life in them, then he says he created them. And then when he comes to man, he steps it up again, and then he talks about the breath of God. So, but in Isaiah, in chapter number 45, he says, I have made the earth, and he created man upon it. So here we have that forming that you see in those first few verses. He's already created the earth. Now he's forming it back for a reason. Earth's already been created. Now he's making it for a reason, for a purpose. He's doing something to it. And why is he doing that? He's doing that because he's going to create man upon it. God don't mess, he don't miss anything. See, here's a making, but then when he comes to man, it's a creating because he's not created man yet. He has already created the earth. Isaiah says in that chapter number 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that did what? That formed the earth. And did what? And made it. Now, I want you to pay attention to these words in this verse. Because he touches every base. He don't miss anything. He says he's formed it. He's made it. He hath established it. Now look at the next phrase in this verse. He created it what? Not in vain. Now we're looking at not the forming, not the making, not the establishing. We are now looking at the creation part. And he said, when I did that, I did it what? I did it not in vain. And that goes back to Genesis 1:1, when he created the heavens and the earth. And he did not create it in vain. And it was not like it is in verse number 2, when it says it was void and in darkness. Now, there's another important thing here. He said he formed it. Why? To be inhabited. And that's the reason we look back over in verse number 12, and he says, you know, I made it, and then I created man. So here we find that he has formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none other. In verse number 2, in Genesis 1, the earth was without form. It was void. And guess what? It was in darkness, surrounded by water. Ain't a good place for a man to live. But then he started forming it and making it that he might create man upon it. But there's somebody else upon it too, beside man. Now, we should look at a few things with me. Look at John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12, verse number 31. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now, a while ago, we talked about in Isaiah, he said Lucifer's throne, talked about his domain, something he was in charge of, so to speak, for a while. And here he says he's a what? He's a prince of this world. In Ephesians, if I would ask you, where's the devil today, what would you say? How many of you think he's pretty close to us this morning? He probably don't like me too good right now. And I don't care. In Ephesians, the second chapter, verse number 2. Wherein in times past, now, this is, if you know Christ and saving grace, he's talking about you in times past. If you like you were before you said you got saved, you ain't been saved. Can I give Plato Johnson County English? You know, if there's not a difference in your life after you said that you come to know Christ in saving grace, if there's not a difference in your life, if you do not see things differently, then you're not saved, and you better check it up. Now he says, in times past you walked. This is before you're saved. Now it's different. But that's not the toughest topic right now. It's something else. In times past, you walked according to the course of this world. According to the what? The prince of the... What's that word? P-O-W-E-R. He's got some power. He says, you walked according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Of disobedience. among whom we also had our conversations in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by, next word, nature, that natural man. Is that natural man prone to do, is he prone to do the things of God or prone to do the things against God? We know he's prone to do things against God, not those for God. He says, by nature, the children of what? Wrath, even as others. But God, boy, don't you like that, but. But God, who is rich in mercy. For his great love, wherein he loved us, before we ever loved him, he loved us. But here we see that old prince of this earth again mentioned, and you see his power and his authority. In I won't go read it, but let me see. I won't find something else if I can. I won't read it to you. I want you to turn to Job chapter number 1. I want you to turn to verse number 6. Job chapter number 1, verse number 6. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan. And who? And Satan, that prince that we've been talking about, Lucifer, he came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, which camest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro, where? In the earth, and from, now watch this, he has the ability to go to and fro, wide range. But he also has the ability to walk, to do what? And he says, from walking up and down in it. He's powerful, folks. He's powerful. Now, go with me back to Luke. Right quick, and we'll close out for this Sunday. Chapter number 4. Chapter number 4 and verse number 5. Now, this is when Christ begins his earthly ministry. And remember, the Holy Spirit led him up into the mountain, and he fasted and prayed for 40 days. Who you reckon was around during that? Look at chapter number 4 of the book of Luke, and verse number 5. And the devil taketh him up into a high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. Now, I want you to listen carefully to the comments that Satan makes in the process the devil made. And he said unto him, all this, next word, power, will I give thee, and the what? And the glory of them. The power and the glory that comes with the power. He said, I'll do what? He said, I'll give them to you. For that is delivered unto me, to whom also I give it. What? He's sitting with Christ up on a high mountain that Christ already owns. He just ain't claiming it yet. If you look at the book of Revelation, you'll find there's a title deed to this world. There's a little book that Christ took out of the Father's hand. And it's a title deed to this world. He's got it. This is all God's and it's all Christ. And Christ has just not claimed ownership yet. He died for the world, right? It's His. He just not claimed ownership yet. And here He says, all this is mine, and I'll give it to whomsoever I will, is what Satan says. If, it's a big if what? If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. You see, it shows you the devil ain't got no lick sense. Daddy says ain't got no lick sense. No way. He don't realize God and Christ already owns it. That ain't settled in yet. Dummy. But you see, he's not going to quit the fight. Just because you come to church today don't mean when you walk out the door, he ain't going to be on your case. Right. He's going to be on your back and my back the whole week long. He just, now you're talking about one that don't give up. He don't give up. No, but one of these days he will, because he will bow the knee. That'll be a good day. That's it for today, folks. God bless you. Thank you for being here.